NPR.
Hey, Robert, why did you want me to meet you in this virtual playground?
I am contemplating the economy while sitting on a teeter-totter.
Yeah, I called it a seesaw when I was growing up.
Apparently in England, they call it a Brewster's willy-nilly.
Now, you just made that up. Next, you'll be telling me there was once an Earl of Sandwich.
It's true. I did make it up. But that's not important right now. What's important is the metaphor of the seesaw. I was thinking about it as I was reading a publication called The Summary of Commentary on Current Economic Conditions.
Growing up, I called that the Beige Book.
The Beige Book, published by the Fed, has all these stories about what's happening in the economy right now. And this time, it's all topsy-turvy.
Like a teeter-totter.
Like a teeter-totter. In some areas, in some sectors, prices are still going up. But in other places, we're seeing prices drop. Some people are finding that it's easier to hire workers. Other companies have turned to extreme measures to get the people they need. Restaurants are booming in Little Rock, but struggling in Kansas City.
Yeah, up and down. I get it. Plus, with a seesaw, you never know when it's just going to suddenly bang to the ground. So this all makes sense. But Robert, why are you wearing a tuxedo to the playground?
It's the Beige Awards, our 8 times a year salute to the art and science of telling stories about the economy. I'm Robert Smith.
And I'm Waylon Wong, on the red carpet that's running through this playground. We will give the award tonight to the best anecdote in this obscure document known as the Beige Book. Will the economy slide into recession? Is the labor market swinging up? Is the Fed just monkey barring around?
All that after the break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Fundrise, a platform that makes investing in high-end real estate easy. You tell Fundrise your investing goals, and Fundrise puts your money into the real estate deals that are right for you. Sign up for free at fundrise.com/indicator.
It's always good to remind everyone how this works. There are 12 regional parts of the Federal Reserve. Each one peers into their local economy and brings back these little stories of what they see. And we tell you the best ones.
Today, our first runner-up is a tie.
Ooh.
Because we saw the same story in several different regions of the country, like from the Richmond Fed.
Quote, one company that was looking to hire an experienced worker decided to hire an entry-level worker instead and just pay for the training.
And from the Atlanta Fed.
Quote, finding qualified candidates was reported as nearly impossible, so firms increased investments in training new hires.
That's kind of interesting, right? Like, in the 6 months it could take to hire the right person, you could instead help create the right person.
And I was thinking, like, that makes the world a little better off. The employee has gained new skills, is probably more loyal to the company. We're going to be watching this trend.
And now, the big prize. The Beige Award for the last Beige Book of the year. And the award goes to...
Wait a minute. I want to heighten the drama a little bit, because this month's Beige is a special one for something I'm calling Beige Book Innovation, something I had not seen in a Beige Book before. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, the Beige Award goes to the Minneapolis Fed. Beige will be accepted by Outreach Director Eric Garcia Luna and Community Development Project Director Benjamin Horowitz.
First, let me say thank you. We know the competition is tough and the decision is always difficult to make, so we're thankful for that.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So here is the innovation I was talking about in the entry from the Minneapolis Fed. Usually each Beige Book entry is a series of unconnected anecdotes. Oh, they're selling more clams in Ipswich, but fewer mortgages in Bangor. But the Minneapolis Fed did something very clever this time. They had a connecting theme. A lot of the stories they told were from various Native American reservations around the district.
Here, I'll read a bit. Quote, the CEO of a food processing firm on a district reservation shared that the price of essential packaging inputs had increased threefold and shipping costs for them increased fivefold in the last 2 years. It has been a struggle, they commented. If prices keep going up, I will go out of business.
There are a bunch of other anecdotes, but I thought the whole situation was fascinating. Whatever problems we have in the economy, in the general economy, is sort of magnified on reservations. So we experience inflation, obviously, but they just get walloped by inflation. I mean, that's what you found, right?
So we've been holding focus groups on different reservations, both within our district and nationally. Every reservation is different in its own community and has its own economic story. But the places we've been have often been further removed from major metropolitan areas. So a lot of people talked about already feeling like they pay more for basic consumer goods, but then also feeling like the price changes have been more. And then also they have to factor in, you know, the fact that going to the nearest super center is now going to be a much more expensive proposition.
Oh, and you pointed out in the Beige Book that this distance of reservations from population centers also makes it hard to find workers, right? Because, you know, if you want to hire someone who doesn't live on the reservation, they have to have a car and buy gas and have to come all the way out there to work, right?
There is no easy access to public transportation. You must rely on your vehicle. If you're in construction, for example, you are going to not only have to rely on a vehicle, but a vehicle that consumes a lot of fuel in order for you to carry your tools to your workplace and so on.
We wanted to see how specific tribes were dealing with all of this, so we called up Whitney Gravel. She's the president of the Bay Mills Indian Community, which is part of the Anishinaabe tribal community in the far, far north of Michigan.
Can you see Canada from where you are?
Yes, we can. I can look outside my office window here and look over to Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario.
Whitney runs the government for the 2,500 tribal citizens of Bay Mills. She also shops for her own family at a grocery store that is 40 minutes away. And let's just say that getting food up to Bay Mills is not cheap.
In the grocery store, organic or even sometimes regular vegetables and fruits are significantly higher. We are in a rural area. And although we have many farmers that are around us in this rural area, we're not seeing those prices in the actual grocery store.
Whitney says they added $3 an hour to all the wages they pay in the tribal government, which comes out to about $300 more per paycheck. But that's gotten eaten up by inflation,
which makes it harder to attract workers, which makes things more expensive. It is this cycle. Last summer, they had more than 100 open positions to fill.
In order to make ends meet, Whitney says they are trying to encourage their residents to go back to more traditional ways of getting food, hunting for deer, harvesting wild rice.
We came to the Great Lakes based on a vision from our creator who said to travel to the place where food grows on water, which is our Manoman and our wild rice. And so if we can rely on those practices too, we'll be able to fill the food disparity gaps that we see in the grocery store.
Whitney wants to make sure we tell you that despite the expensive groceries, it is still a great place to live and work.
When you work for us and you're able to be part of our family, you're embraced by the entire community. You become one of us. We support you during your hardships. We celebrate your achievements, and we try to work together in a very positive and culturally informed environment where we're here to provide for the next seven generations.
That's pretty good. And the view isn't too shabby either.
It's gorgeous. You're on the waters of Lake Superior, and you are surrounded by the Hiawatha National Forest. It is absolutely beautiful up here.
Sometimes the Beige Book also has travel advice. Is there anything this document can't do, Waylon?
We should take the Beiges on the road next time.
Oh, yeah.
So congratulations again, Ben and Eric from the Minneapolis Fed for the Beige and for bringing new kinds of stories into dry government publications.
We're honored and very much appreciated.
Thank you very much for the distinction.
This episode was produced by Brittany Cronin and engineered by Natasha Branch and Alex Drewenskis. It was fact-checked by Sarah Juarez and Dylan Sloan. BLA is a senior producer. Kate Kinnon edits the show, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.